Bibles with me to the Gospel of Mark and the 11th chapter as we get started in our little Bible study this morning. In the 11th chapter of Mark's Gospel, Jesus is actually in Jerusalem now for this last week of his life, and he's ministering and teaching and going in and out of the city day to day and encouraging those who are in the temple. And we hear these words from Jesus in Mark chapter 11 and verses 22 through 24. Excuse me, I cannot get my throat clear today. Mark 11, 22, it says, "And Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God." Now, I pulled out this verse last week and shared with you that from the Amplified Bible, which is a good, excellent study Bible that expounds on meanings of words and shades of meanings and things, that the Amplified Bible actually says, have faith in God constantly. Constantly be having faith in God. Faith isn't something we put on or off. Faith really should be who we are as a people of God. And he encourages us. And our message today is all about being encouraged to believe God constantly and continually. Jesus answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. Let's pray together. Father, as we consider your word this morning, I thank you for the privilege that I have today, Father, to share the Word of God, to help encourage all of us to indeed believe in you constantly and continually. And I pray, Father, that you would give every one of us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit would say to our own hearts today, because we know, Father, that that is the true source of faith in our lives. And as we hear your Word and hear your voice and draw near after you, Father, we're going to grow and we're going to trust and believe, and that faith is going to open the door in our lives for you to do awesome and amazing things. So, Father, inspire all of us today through these moments together to have faith in you constantly. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's really the heart of the messages that we're sharing with you today, and the encouragement we want to bring to you today is just keep on believing God. No matter what's going on around you, no matter what people are saying to you, no matter how trying the difficult times may be in your life, just keep on believing God no matter what. Even if the problems that you're going through, won't you listen, even if the problems that you're going through in your life today are self-inflicted wounds because of poor choices you've made in your life, I want you to keep on believing God. I want you to understand that even though a lot of the things that we go through are things that are a result of poor choices that we've made, that God doesn't cast us aside, give up on us, or quit on us just because the source of our problems happens to be ourselves. God still loves us. God still cares about us. And God still has a plan for your life. And I want you to understand, I want to say this morning. I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to say, because if you're not listening carefully, you're going to misunderstand. But listen to this. God's plan for your life and my life, God's plan for our lives included our failures. Now listen. I didn't say that God willed those failures, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that God, who knows all things, knew when he planned our lives, he knew the choices that we would make. He knew the mistakes that we would make. He knew the ways, the times that we would fail and fall. And yet he still devised a plan that would ultimately lead us to glory and victory and a life that brings glory and honor to him. God knew those problems would be created in our lives by the choices that we made, and had a contingency already in, listen, already set, already established. When God planned our lives, he knew the mistakes that we're going to make, and he has a plan to bring us through those things and give us victory. And God doesn't just toss us aside because we make mistakes in our lives. Listen to this promise from Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 3 says this. It says, a bruised reed he will not break. A dimly lit wick he will not extinguish. In other words, God just doesn't throw things away. God uses us even when we're bruised, even when we're broken, even when we're hurting. He has a plan to redeem all of that, to restore all of that, to heal all of that. Even when our light's not burning brightly the way that it ought to. Because when we talk about a wick that's not burning brightly, you know why that's usually the case? It's usually because that wick, and I'll just use this word, has gotten filthy. It's filthy. And so it doesn't burn very bright. And you know, sometimes our light doesn't burn bright because of the filth in our lives. But listen, the dimly lit wick, dimly lit wick, he does not extinguish. He doesn't put it out. God doesn't just cast it aside and throw it away. What does he do? He cleans it up. He cleans up the filth so that it can burn brightly again. And that's what God wants to do with our lives today. He wants to, listen, I can testify to you, I didn't mean to go here, and I don't think I'll take the time to tell the whole story, but I can testify from my own life that God had a plan for my life, knowing the failures, knowing the mistakes that I would make. I almost have to go there to explain what I'm talking about this morning. God had a plan for my life when he called me into the ministry. And I started a ministry in 1981. I started a church. Becky and I started a church. And 5 or 6 years later, I had to leave that church in humiliation and disgrace. And God would later call me to start this church. But here's what I want you to see. God was already making plans for this church before I ever started the other church. I started the other church in 1981. I can trace the roots back of this ministry to the early 1960s when God was orchestrating lives and putting pieces together and lining things up so that we could buy this piece of property, the 30 acres that we own as Victory Christian Fellowship. God was putting all of this together before I ever failed him. Why? Because a dimly lit wick, God does not extinguish. And I just want to encourage you today. You know, sometimes the world, sometimes the church, sometimes the people that are closest to us, people can be discouraging. People can tell us, you know, well, that's over. You're done. You're finished, and all of these kinds of things. And I just want to encourage you today. Just keep believing God. Keep your heart on God. Keep your mind on the Lord. Listen to what God has to say. Trust in God and don't let go of your faith in him. Be constant in your faith toward the Lord, and God can turn things around in your life. This is why the devil is always, always, always after us, to try to trip us up, to try to knock us down, to try to get us off of our faith and looking away from God, because he knows if he can rob us of our faith, then he's got us right where he wants us, and he can keep us defeated. The Bible says the very faith that he's trying to steal from us is the very faith that we are to use to overcome him. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, if we will stand firm in our faith, regardless of the tests, the trials, the persecutions, the problem we've been going through, if we will be faithful to just be constant in faith toward God, the time will come when God will turn it around and he will strengthen and he will confirm and he will perfect us in our spiritual journey. Keep on believing Keep on trusting the Lord. Don't let go of your faith. We read from Hebrews chapter 10 last week that we are to hold on to our confidence, which has great reward when we continue to pursue God and trust Him with everything about our lives. We looked at a couple of stories last week, and let's just go back and we'll just kind of pick up there and move forward. We looked at the story last week of David and Goliath, that old story from the Old Testament that everybody knows. And we looked at that story of how David refused to listen to anything or anyone but God. The story of David and Goliath when he came out to fight the giant. And listen, his eyes could tell him that this giant was a mighty warrior, was a great champion, was a huge dude, a big obstacle in his way. His eyes could tell him that. His ears could tell him. In fact, his ears did tell him. His ears told him, by way of his brother, his ears told him, you have no business here. You're useless. You're worthless. You need to go back home where you belong. His ears told him, by way of King Saul, his ears said, you're just a little kid. And this enemy you're facing is a mighty giant, and you really don't stand a chance. His ears told him, by way of Goliath, dude, this is your last day in the world. I'm fixing to take you out. But listen, his faith told him God was bigger than the obstacle he was facing. And he chose to listen, not to his eyes and ears, but to his heart and to his faith. And because he chose to walk by faith and not by sight, he was able to overcome a giant far greater than he was and gain a great victory and a mighty kingdom as a result of it. We looked at the story, and I want to read this one for you. We didn't read it last week. If you'll look, you're in Mark there. Just back up one chapter to the 10th chapter. It's the story of Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, who was healed by Jesus. And the story I want you to see here, I want you to see that persistent faith. God wants us to have a persistent faith, a faith that doesn't let go, a faith that doesn't waver. I don't know if I read it or not, but over in James chapter 1, it tells us that if our faith wavers, we have no right to expect to receive anything from the Lord. Being double-minded, James tells us. And so we want to have a constant faith, a persistent faith, a faith that doesn't let go. And by the way, when I'm talking about faith, I'm talking about faith in God and faith in His Word and faith in what He has spoken to your heart and to my heart. Okay? Help me, Lord. Let me just say this. This book that we hold, this Bible, this is the Word of God. But listen, I believe with all my heart, the purpose of this book is to encourage us and to challenge us and to motivate us to see the kinds of things God is capable of so that we will in turn draw near to God, seek after God, abide with God, and let the Spirit of God speak to our own heart so that we can then know what God wants to do in our lives. This may be a little different than things you've heard before, but here's what I'm trying to get to. Sometimes we treat the Bible like a deck of tarot cards or something. I'm not big on promise box Christianity. You know, the kind where most of the time we don't give thought to God, but all of a sudden now we've got a problem, and so we run to the promise box, we pull out the promise that looks like it fits our situation, and we try to claim the promise and the victory in the Lord. When we've not spent any time with God, we've not drawn to the Lord, and really, if we admit it, we don't really have faith. We've discovered a formula that we're trying to work in the hopes that God will respond to the formula. Listen, God's not about formula, brother and sister. God's about a relationship. God's about a relationship. And I'm convinced that the Bible, the purpose of the Bible is to drive us to a personal relationship with God so that we can hear God speak personally to us so that we'll know what He wants to do for us, and then we can cling to that word and have faith in what God's going to do in our lives. Let me say it another way. And I'm sharing from my own experiences here now, because when I came into teachings on faith and trusting the Lord and seeing God do things and stuff like that, I found myself as an immature young believer, I found myself trying to do things that I saw other men of God do, expecting to get the same result that they got. In other words, if Brother Doodad said, do this, 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 and this, then because they did this, 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 and this, if I do this, this, and this, and this, then God's going to do the same thing for me. Now listen, that's a formula. That's not a relationship. I have to come to God for myself. And I have to listen to God for myself and hear His voice for myself. But listen to me, when I hear from God for myself, I've got money I can take to the bank. Because God's word is sure. God is not a man that He should lie. And when God speaks to me about what God wants to do in my life, now I know what I can believe God for, what I can claim. There was a teaching in the church, and may still be there, I don't know. Have you ever heard this phrase? Name it and claim it. And that whole teaching on faith is just a little bit skewed, and that's all the devil needs is just a little bit to get us off track. Name it and claim it. You name what you want from God, you claim what you want from God, and somehow, for some reason, God is obligated to give you what you say. You can have what you say. Well, listen, I want to tell you today that I tried that, and it didn't work. Okay? But here's what I want you to also hear today. When God names it, you can claim it. But you better be sure God is the one who's naming it and not you, see. And that means you're going to have a relationship with God. You're going to draw near to God so that you can listen to His voice, so that you can hear what He wants to do in your life, so that then you will know what you can claim and name and believe and receive. But family, it comes out of relationship with God. Now, this gentleman we're going to read about here, he had heard about Jesus, and he came to believe in his heart. He came to know who Jesus was and what Jesus was able to do in his life. And because of that hope, he cries out to the Lord. Let's read it together from Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. I'll just read the whole thing. Then they came to Jericho, and this is Jesus and his disciples, and by now no doubt an entourage that is following him as he is on his way to Jerusalem to give his life. And as Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now again, that phrase, son of David, means something specifically to the Jewish folk. It is a phrase that means, it refers to Messiah. Messiah. Son of David comes from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13, where God promises David, I will give you a son, and he will sit on your throne forever. Forever. See, that word forever is key. That means that God's talking about something more than just a flesh and blood descendant. He was talking about Messiah. And the Jews came to realize that. So that to them, the phrase son of David means Messiah. It's why Matthew's gospel, chapter 1, verse 1 says, the gospel of Jesus Christ, son of David, seed of Abraham. Both phrases that speak of Messiah. So, Bartimaeus knows that Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah of the world. He knows as well that Messiah, the promise of Isaiah 61:1, is that when Messiah comes, he'll be able to open the eyes of the blind. So he hears that Jesus is coming. The one who is Messiah. The one that can heal him of his blindness. He's coming down the road. And so he cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up, he is calling you. I love verse 50. Throwing aside his cloak. Throwing aside his cloak. Please hear what that means. The cloak that Bartimaeus wore and used was a beggar's garment. It identified him as a beggar. As he sat by the road and called out for people to give alms or to give him something, he would wrap it up in that coat and he would take it home. And this is what identified him as a beggar. The fact that he throws it away tells me this. Bartimaeus knew that Jesus was going to open his eyes, heal him, change his life forever, and he would never need that beggar's garment again. Bartimaeus knew he was about to be a man made new. He knew that. And so in faith, he throws away that beggar's garment. Never going to need that thing again. He hasn't been healed yet. He's still a blind man. But he knows what Jesus is about to do in his life. And in faith, he throws away that beggar's garment. He jumps up and he comes to Jesus, and answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, Rabbi, teacher, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus says to him, and look at verse 52. Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and began following Jesus on the road. Please notice the responsibility that Bartimaeus had in the process of receiving what Jesus wanted to do for his life. Bartimaeus still had the responsibility of believing. Listen, excuse me. Bartimaeus still had the responsibility of exercising faith in Jesus and believing in the Lord. You and I have that same responsibility when it comes to receiving what God wants to do. Our responsibility is simply believe. Keep on believing. Don't let go of your faith. Don't let go of your confidence, because with it comes great reward. Bartimaeus found that out to be true. And because of his faith, he receives his sight and he is made completely whole. I've got so many other things I want to share with you, and we'll have to pick up a lot of this next week. Another story I will share with this one with you next week is the story in the same gospel in Mark chapter 5, the story of Jairus, who has a daughter who is sick and dying, and he comes to Jesus and he wants healing for his daughter. And Jesus eventually will go to his home. As they're on the way to Jairus' home, messengers come from Jairus' home and say, don't bother Jesus anymore. He died. And Jesus says this to Jairus. He says, don't be afraid. Hear it. Keep on believing. Keep on believing. The end result is that Jesus will actually go to Jairus' house and raise his daughter from the dead, because Jairus held on to his faith. Suppose David had cast aside his faith. Suppose David had followed what his eyes told him, what his ears told him. It's a good chance he'd probably just gone on back home, and an excellent chance he never would have had a kingdom. Suppose Bartimaeus had listened to those people who were shouting him down. Son of David, have mercy on me. Shut up. You're not worthy. Just keep your mouth closed. Suppose he'd have believed that. Suppose he'd have given into that. Suppose he'd have said, you know what? You're right. I better just sit here and behave myself. Good chance he would have died a blind beggar. But he held on to faith. Suppose Jairus had let go of his faith when his daughter died. Jesus said, keep on believing. That makes no sense. Sometimes, guys, God will say things to us that make no sense. And it comes down to, are you going to believe your sense? Are you going to believe God? Are you going to believe Jesus? Now, you better hear from Jesus. Let me make that perfectly clear. You better hear from Jesus or you're going to look like a nutcase. But when you've heard from Jesus, even though you still may look like a nutcase, Jesus is going to come through and you're going to be favored and blessed and he's going to be glorified. Sometimes believing Jesus does mean looking like a nutcase. But it's worth it. I guarantee you Jairus would tell you that. We'll have to share more about that next week. I want to share a couple of personal stories with you today. I don't often do this, and the reason I don't often do this is because I don't want your faith to be in me, and I don't want you to try to imitate. As I shared earlier, in my immaturity as a believer, I often tried to imitate what other people were doing and often failed to receive anything from the Lord as a result. And I often don't share things like this in a personal way, but I just want to encourage you today to hold on to faith, because faith, our faith in Jesus, absolutely, of course, it makes a difference where eternity is concerned. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, eternity with God belongs to us. Heaven is our eternal home, and our faith in Jesus has made an eternal difference in our lives. For all who believe in Jesus, it changes our eternity. And that's why the greatest gift you can ever give to anybody is the witness of Jesus Christ. What an awesome thing. Think about that, guys. When you tell somebody about Jesus, when you introduce them to the Lord and you bring them to faith in Jesus Christ, you have had a part in changing their eternity. Wow. That's amazing. So our faith has an eternal effect on us and it changes our eternity. But our faith in Jesus can affect our todays, our right nows, our here and nows, can it? He can turn things around for us. He can turn natural things around for us. Gave David a victory. Gave Bartimaeus his sight back. Gave Jairus his daughter back. We're talking about changing natural things with spiritual power just by believing that God is able and believing that what he says to us, he will do. This all started for us many years ago. And one of the first things that I ever saw God do for me as a response to my faith was when Sean was healed as just a little guy. Sean was about 2 years old. Sean's the old man in the sound booth back there now. And when he was about 2 or 3 years old, Sean, every time the seasons changed, Sean developed a real severe cough. They call it the croup. And he'd get this real severe cough, and his voice would... His throat would swell up, and he couldn't hardly breathe. Now, any of you that are parents, you know when your children are having a hard time, when your children are not well, you know, it just weighs on you real heavy. And when your children can't breathe, that's kind of scary, you know. And so we went into Sean, and we're taking him to the doctor, and we're getting medicines and all this kind of stuff. And every time the seasons change, we're going through this. You know, 3-4 times a year for several years we're going through this. Finally, we went one of the times to the doctor. I said, "Doctor, you know, is this ever going to stop?" And, you know, Sean is like, he's 2, 3, 4 years old. And the doctor said, "Well, he may outgrow it by the time he's 8 or 9, or he may have it all his life." And I mean, you know, you talk about a weight that lays on your shoulders. When your children are suffering and the doctor can't say, he can't fix it. He just may have to deal with this. What a weight that is. And we had been hearing teaching about faith and what God can do. And the Bible tells us plainly in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever Jesus, whatever he was, he still is, always will be. Whatever Jesus did, he can still do and always will be able to do it. He's the same Jesus. And we began to hear teachings about faith and God affecting our lives in the here and now and that kind of thing. I'll never forget, one night, we're in bed and Sean's in his little bed across the hall and he starts coughing. And I'm thinking, oh my God, here we go again. That croup is coming back and here we go again. And we've been hearing teachings on faith and things like that. And the verse of scripture came to my heart from Mark chapter 16. Believers will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Now please
please, please hear what I'm about to share. I did not do what I did because somebody else told me to do it. I didn't do what I did because it looked like a good formula and maybe it might work. I did what I did because I believed God had spoken to my heart. That word from God became the seed of faith on which I stood. That seed of direction that I obeyed where my son was concerned. I went into his room across the hall. I laid my hands on my little boy. And I prayed and I asked Jesus to heal him. Sean coughed two more times, rolled over, went to sleep, and has never had the croup since. Now, you might say, well, it's just coincidence. That's all right. If that's your opinion, that's fine. I believe it was God. I believe God spoke. I believe faith came. I obeyed God. And God responded. Just exactly what the Bible says God will do. Our middle child over here, 9 years ago, he was diagnosed with cancer. There's something out of order when you're taking your child for cancer treatments. You kind of, you know, when you get older, maybe they'll have to take me to the doctor. But there was just something not right about that whole process. When we first heard that Ben had lymphoma, we began to pray and seek the Lord. All of us did. And I was convinced that God spoke a word to my heart. I don't know if I'd been reading the passage or if it just came to mind, the story of Abraham sacrificing his son, offering his son to God, God giving Isaac back to Abraham. But the word that I believed, that I heard in my heart was, you give me your son, and I'll give him back to you. And I believed that was the voice of the Lord. That was the word of God for my life in his situation. And from the time that I heard that word, faith came. And when faith came, peace came. Now, Ben had to go through 6-8 months of chemo and radiation and all of that process. Why didn't God heal him instantly, immediately? I don't know. That's a good question to ask God. Those kinds of things, folks, those are God's calls. Those are not our calls. Please understand, we never tell God what to do or how to do it. In fact, God tells us what to do. And when we partner with him, then he does what he says he will do. But we're the servants in this thing, not God. Okay? 6 or 8 months, we went through the whole process. We're taking Ben every week or so for the treatments and all of these kinds of things. And for that entire 6 or 8 months, we were just enveloped in the Lord. And there was never a doubt that God was going to heal our son of cancer. In fact, it didn't dawn on me. And after his treatments, after about 6-8 months of treatment, he was declared clean, healed, well. And go through the annual checkups every year, and he's always declared healed and well. And he's never had any problems since then. I believe God healed my son. Wasn't a supernatural thing. Wasn't a miraculous, instantaneous thing. But I still believe it was God. Somebody said, well, oh, it was just doctors and medicine. And you know what I say? Thank God for doctors and medicine. They're just tools in the hand of God. to do what God wants to do. And it was required of us to have an enduring faith, a constant faith, a never give up, never let go kind of faith through that whole process. But our son is well. And we praise God for that. Let me share one more with you just real quick. Let me tell you how he became a middle child. Sean and Ben are about 2.5 years apart. Sean is born in spring of 75, Ben December of 77. And both of them were large babies. Both of them weighed nearly 10 pounds. Now, you ladies will understand this. After each birth, Becky swore she would never have another child. She swore she'd never go through it again. Well, after Ben was born, after about 5 or 6 years, she says, I would really like to have another child. Actually, what she said was, I'd really like to have a daughter. I said, baby, I'm good, but I can't promise you that. So anyway, we began to pray and we began to ask the Lord. Now, please hear this. We did not name it and claim it. We did not tell God what to do, but we sought God and we asked God, God, would you be willing to do this for us? Would you give us a daughter? And after several months, we came to faith. We came to believe that this was the will of God for our lives, that God would, in fact, give us a daughter, did, in fact, want us to have a daughter. And so we begin to, you're wondering where I'm going with this, aren't you? Well, the Bible does say faith without works is dead, isn't that right? So anyway, make a long story short, our beautiful daughter sang for you this morning. And God gave us the desire of our heart. See, I'm just telling you, listen, we don't tell God what to do. But God loves us. And God wants to do awesome, awesome things in our life. And it'll be different for all of us. Okay? God has a different plan for you than he does for me. And you know, different for all of us. And we need to seek God. We need to ask the Lord, you know, what is your plan? What do you want? What is your will? And when we want something, if we want to go to the Lord and ask God for something, that's fine. But we need to still be submitted to his will. And we need to let God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. A wise guy prayed that one time. That needs to be the prayer of our heart. And listen, when we hold on to the faith that God births in our heart when he speaks, as a response to that faith, God can do anything. Because nothing is impossible with God. And according to Jesus, Mark chapter 9, verse 23, nothing is impossible to him who believes. Nothing. And so I just want to encourage you today to trust God. Hold on to your faith. Don't give up on God because he's not giving up on you. Seek the Lord with all of your heart and find out what his will is for your life. Listen to the Spirit of God and let him speak to your heart and let that word be the foundation of your faith, of what you believe in God and what you expect him to do in your life. Don't let go of the faith that rises in your heart when he speaks his word to you. And watch what God would do in your life. My time is gone. I thank you for yours. The journey continues. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you again today for your goodness and faithfulness to us. We thank you, Father, that you do have a good plan for all of our lives. Plan for good and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. And Father, I pray that the result of this message today would be that all of us would chase after you with all of our heart. We would pursue you, and we would chase after you and run after you, and we would listen to you, Father, and surrender to you. We thank you, Father, for speaking a word into our hearts and lives that will bring faith, help us to trust and to know your will for our lives. Father, I thank you that when we hold on to faith, regardless of what circumstances look like, regardless of what other people are saying, regardless of what our eyes are seeing, Father, help us to hold on the faith that you birthed within us by your spoken word to us. And we thank you, Father, that what you say will ultimately come to pass in our lives so that we might be blessed and you might be glorified. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Pursue God, church. Chase after the Lord. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Let God speak to your heart and believe what God says to you. God is not a man that he should lie. The Christmas story just popped into my head just like that. When Mary said to the angel, "Be it done to me according to your word." When she surrendered to the word of the Lord, Mary gave birth to a miracle. And I believe when you and I surrender to the word of God, and we surrender to the will of God and let God have his way, and we say to the Lord, "Be it done to us according to your word," I believe we'll give birth to miracles. The miracle that God has for our lives, his will, his way, his time. So, Father, I thank you again for the opportunity to encourage all of us through the word of the Lord and our experiences with you. And again, Father, I pray that we would not do things just because somebody else did them, but the result of our time together this morning would be a pursuit of you from every heart to your glory. I thank you for the potential, the limitless potential that is before every one of us if we will dare to believe. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. Let's sing together as we're being dismissed this morning. And I trust you will leave this place today with an expectancy in your heart to see God do something awesome in your life. As Oral Roberts used to say all the time, something good is going to happen to you. You hold on to faith and keep on believing and watch what God does in your life. Let's sing together this morning. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay
in your presence day by day, till your likeness may be seen in me. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord. Next week's Palm Sunday, then Resurrection Sunday. Invite somebody to church with you.